What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by LQ Laquan Jones, of the editorial researcher over at NFL Network. He can be found on Twitter at RealDealFantasy. LQ, how are you today, my friend? How was the Fantasy Football Expo?
Oh, man, I'm good today, man. I'm feeling good. You know, I woke up refreshed, happy to be jumping on the pod with you, man. Talk some football, but the expo was very eventful, man. I definitely recommend, you know, people go out there and have a good time.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, let's waste no time. Let's get into talking some football here. We got a lot of content to get through here in the next 30 minutes. So let's just rip through it. I got a question of the day here for you right off the bat. Who has been the biggest faller in rankings for you over the course of training camp and week one of the preseason? Throughout the offseason, we're doing a ton of work just trying to piece together things and say, like, this is how it could play out. These are my early rankings, all that stuff. And then we get into actual, you know, reports from beat reporters and training camp. And then we see things play out on the field. Who has been the biggest faller for you?
Oh, man. I mean, today we're getting news about Antonio Gibson.
I knew we were going to talk about Gibby.
Yeah. It's nuts. I mean, like, this might be the biggest drop in, like, rankings from at least from March till now, because it's like, man, Antonio Gibson's like one of those guys that we're like, oh, he has a nose for the end zone. He's getting the workload. But, man, it's just been falling. And it's just unfortunate. You know, we're reports today he's doing special teams in the slot, you know, for the punter block. And it's like, dude, you're starting running back. Like, what's happening? But, you know, he's a big disappointment right now for me in my rankings.
I know he's taking a tumble for me. Definitely someone that you cannot, like, I was loving drafting him early on because you have Brian Robinson in town. You have JD McKissick in town as well, but Antonio Gibson proved that he can be super efficient. Even with a limited opportunity, he can be a receiver out of the backfield. He can still get the yardage for you to return low end RB2 production, maybe even mid range RB2. Now, and also on top of the working with the third team offense, working with the punt team, also, we had Scott Turner coming out just before we started recording here on Tuesday saying, like, if you fumble, it's a waste of possession. And that is just not what you want to hear here for Antonio Gibson as we move into the season. Definitely a faller in the rankings and certainly a risky, risky pick for you. Someone that could pay off because the talent level's there, but this situation in Washington is getting murkier and murkier by the day. Let's run through some latest news here. Not a whole lot to run through, but we do have some things that we want to make sure everyone is aware of. Adam Schefter reported that Alvin Kamara's felony battery case is unlikely to affect his availability this season. Someone here that this has been hanging over his head since February, over Fantasy Manager's head since February, where we were wondering if Alvin Kamara was going to be suspended for any portion of the 2022 NFL season. Now, I will say this. This doesn't mean that the video, the alleged video that is out there, could potentially leak and the NFL's hand is forced, right? At that point, the NFL has got to do something. So that is still hanging over his head, where there is a little bit of risk still with, you know, drafting Alvin Kamara at his current ADP, but the payoff is still 100% there. So it sounds like unless that situation happens, Alvin Kamara will be on the field for all 17 games this season, barring injury. Sean McVay says that both Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson are dealing with soft tissue injuries and are being held out of practice. Not great news here. LQ, I'll turn this to you. What are your thoughts here with this backfield as we move forward? Because not only did we have the news of Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson dealing with the soft tissue injuries and really no timeline of when they're going to be back, we also had news that they are splitting first team reps here evenly in practice. So with Cam Akers, the potential to be a top five fantasy football running back is there if he gets the majority of the work. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. What is kind of the temperature check here for this backfield as we move into 2022?
So we had to look at this from, you know, a perspective like we want a Rams running back because it's a high power offense, a lot of scoring opportunity. But Cam Akers' ADP right now, it's a little too high for me to go and invest on a guy that's coming off of an injury as well. And it's been reported, you know, they're both going to be splitting carries. So it's like you're not going to get that third round, you know, return back that you're hoping for a workhorse running back. And that Todd Gurley era, it's over, man. Like, it's not going to fall into Cam Akers' lap that he's going to get those touches. And I feel as though for me personally, I'm fading that entire backfield to begin with because there's not much of a PPR upside there either. And it's like, you know, last year they were ranked 31st. You know, targets hit a running back. And the year before that, they were 30th. So it's not like there's a lot of targets out of that backfield going to these running backs. So I'm completely faded in the entire situation.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, a path. If this clears up with Darrell Henderson misses time or Kyron Williams doesn't come back full strength, whatever, like, there's a path that Cam Akers can be a top 10, top 5 guy. because of the scoring opportunities in this offense, but the fact that we are not getting the reports that he is handling the majority of first team reps, and also that we're dealing with some soft tissue injuries here too, those tend to linger a little bit too. So this is a bit of concern here. It's another thing to just kind of tick Cam Akers down the rankings as well. Melvin Gordon for the Denver Broncos returned to a full practice on Monday, was dealing with a minor foot injury there. He returned to full practice on Monday. And then we talked about it. Antonio Gibson practiced with the Commanders' third string offense in the punt team on Tuesday. And then another report came out that he was back working with the first string offense. So who knows at this point what's happening here, but you have to acknowledge that there is definitely some risk here with Antonio Gibson. And finally, Miles Sanders missed practice on Tuesday with leg soreness, and then another report came out that this was potentially a hamstring injury. So seeing two different reports here, we'll keep you updated as we get more information. All right, do you want to take your entire fantasy football league to any NFL regular season game of your choice this year, along with $6,000 for travel and accommodations? That sounds like a good time. Yes, I would absolutely love to do that. You can find all the details for Fantrax giving away this awesome experience. Go over to the ffplaybook.com/FantraxGiveaway, F-A-N-T-R-A-X giveaway, for all the details on how to enter. Will take you less than 5 minutes, and you could potentially have an incredible experience here going to any NFL regular season game of your choice with 11 of your league mates. All right, and remember, you can follow the show over on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at @_theFFPlaybook, over on YouTube as well at youtube.com/TheFantasyPlaybook, over 6,100 subscribers and counting. Absolutely love the support. All right. Let's talk some late round steals here, LQ. I am looking forward to this conversation, man. We got some players here, and obviously this is kind of in conjunction here with sleepers, but these are the players that we are really planting our flag on and saying, like, these are really, really steal players, right? The players that we think should be going much, much higher in ADP or rankings here. So what we're going to do is take a look at the top, outside of the top 140 overall in Fantasy Pros' ADP consensus, taking a look at those players that when you get onto the clock in the final three rounds, four rounds of your draft, it's often pretty difficult to kind of look at these players and say, oh yeah, I'm excited to draft these guys. But what we're going to do is bring eight names to the table here that we say you should be excited to press that draft button when you come onto the clock with these players. Let's turn it over to you. Who is that first player outside the top 140 overall that you see and go, yes, I'm pushing that draft button every single time?
I mean, it has to be DJ Chark, man. This is insane of how late he's going after these videos that have been happening, surfacing on Twitter, YouTube, etc. Man, there's camp hype around him that I'm buying into. And this isn't necessarily coach talk, you know, pushing him up, a press conference that mentioned that he's doing this. No, we have video evidence of this guy laying out for the ball, going into the end zone. Just, this is exactly what we need. And I think DJ Chark, from 2019, we actually fell in love with him. Like, he was a rising star. So he's the last 1K wide receiver for the Jags, by the way. He led in 2019 that Jags team in red zone targets. And this is something that could help Jared Goff in year two, because this offense looks great on paper, man. I'm ready, excited to see it happen. And like, DJ Chark, man, Baby Shark, I'm not going to sing the song. It's going to get stuck in my head for
forever. Yeah, it would be stuck in my head for sure.
But DJ Chark is definitely that guy at the wide receiver 59. You got to grab him up as your wide receiver 3 or 4.
All right. Do you have any concern here with, you know, the fit here for DJ Chark in this offense? Because the thing that I'll push back here with DJ Chark is, and granted, we're outside the top 140 overall. He has the talent. It's worth a shot. But the thing that I'll push back on is saying, okay, you have TJ Hawkinson, you have DeAndre Swift, you have Josh Reynolds there, Jameson Williams when he comes back healthy. This is suddenly a pretty crowded receiving core, which is the opposite of what we were seeing last year. Last year, the case for TJ Hawkinson and DeAndre Swift was draft them because there's no one else in this offense to catch passes. Whereas now we've got a little bit more competition here. But additionally to Jared Goff, one of the lowest, if not the lowest, ADOTs in the entire league last year, continuously checking it down to DeAndre Swift. DJ Chark, he thrives on that deep ball. Any concern there with Chark and the fit and pairing with Jared Goff? Or is it something where you can just put him into your flex and you're going to get those boom performances here or there?
I feel like he's going to be a flex play. I definitely think the upside's there for that. Like, there's still a question mark on how this offense looks. Like, Swift's coming back from injury. Hawk is coming back. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown is there as well. Jameson Williams is going to have a slow start, but he's there as well to be in the mix. So that's definitely a thing that I have a question mark and concern about. But DJ Chark right now, we're the only one that's seeing physical evidence of him showing up in camp and making those deep passes and those deep catches. You know, Jared Goff, you know, as a Rams fan, I know what he's capable of. I know what he goes out there and puts on the field and what he could put on tape. So it's a matter of just having these weapons around him to have at his disposal. Because I think last year they were just going into like, hey, Jared, there's a lot of distraction on the outside. You got traded by the Rams, you know, just dump off the Hawk and dump off. Sure. So I think, you know, they can open up the playbook this year with Jared Goff.
All right. DJ Chark, the first late round steal by LQ. I will go over. I'll stick at the wide receiver position here for mine. We got to talk about the guy who is skyrocketing up draft boards. That is George Pickens, the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this is a guy that going into this season, I said, you know what, probably not a key contributor here for 2022, most likely going to be a 2023 guy if Chase Claypool or gets traded or Deontay Johnson ends up, you know, leaving in free agency. Well, George Pickens, that talent level is shining through, man. We're seeing that in training camp. We are seeing that here in the week one of the NFL preseason. And going into the NFL draft, I said that there were three players in the at the wide receiver position in this class that had superstar traits, the potential superstars in the NFL. One of them was Drake London. The other one was Treylon Burks. And the third one was George Pickens. So George Pickens for me was very, very high in my pre-draft rankings. The landing spot here with Pittsburgh falls down the draft board a little bit there into the second round. Not indicative of his talent level, right? Reminds me a lot of DK Metcalf falling in that draft class as well to the back end of the second round. And you're like, this is an incredibly talented player. He should not be here in the second round. Pickens is showing that he deserves to be considered here. Now, you still have to acknowledge that there are a ton of things that are going against him, right? You have the Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris. Like, this is a loaded receiving group on top of the questionable quarterback play, right? Is it Mitchell Trubisky? Is it Mason Rudolph? Is it Kenny Pickett? So neither of the, I don't know about you, but none of those guys really inspire a ton of confidence for me in investing in George Pickens. This has a lot to do with his ADP, right? Being able to say wide receiver 57 off the board, I can take the shot here outside of the top 140. And if we do get something that clears up here, right, Pickens can stay on my bench. He can stay on my bench until we get some clarity here. But if things do open up with an injury or he just outright plays, outplays Chase Claypool, and he's the wide receiver two in this offense, now we have something here where that late round cost is 100%, just like very much your argument for DJ Chark, it's worth the investment. It's worth finding out what you have here because the talent level is 100% there. Any thoughts on Pickens here before we move on to your second guy?
Man, he is going to be a red zone junkie. I'm telling you, that toe tap in the end zone, that's nothing light. That's definitely going to be something, you know, Trubisky's going to have to look out for. Because I go back to Trubisky when, you know, he was in Chicago and, you know, he had Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson was still scoring some touchdowns. And I definitely like, you know, Mitch Trubisky as a starter versus Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett, because that makes me a little bit uneasy. But I definitely like, you know, George Pickens at ADP, man. Like you said, he could still be on your bench if he's having a slow start, just adjusting and stuff like that. But hey, I definitely love the ADP value right there.
100%. I'll be interested to see where he rises, right? Is that something where he's going to rise this, look, you know, week two of the preseason? Are we going to get another touchdown catch like that? Then we might be talking about him in the eighth round of drafts. And at that point, oh man, it's a little bit too rich. But right now, absolutely worth the investment. All right, let's turn it back over to you here, your second late round steal.
So I love the late round, you know, tight end targets. I love waiting on the tight end because if you miss on those elite guys, like I like guys that feel safe with him. Hunter Henry is one of those guys that I look at his ADP. I'm like, man, this is incredibly low. And I think he's going to take an even further step forward in this offense. You know, even with them bringing in Parker and stuff like that, I definitely feel as though the 9 touchdowns that he had last year, that's nothing to sleep on. That is Mac Jones, like, bread and butter right there in the red zone. So the touchdowns are there. The upside is there. And I feel as though, you know, with him averaging 8 fantasy points per game and half-point PPR, that's nothing light either, because we got to look at this offense of Mac Jones moving forward. They're going to definitely take a step forward. They're going to get creative with that tight end position as well. And Jonnu Smith is still there as well. You might see him take some carries out of the backfield, get a little tricky there. But when it comes to touchdowns, where it matters most, and like I said, if we're talking redraft, man, I'm only drafting one tight end, you know what I mean? And I feel as though Hunter Henry gives you that upside moving forward, you know, basically week to week. And like, he's tied third among tight ends, you know, targets inside the 10. And that's something good to look at, you know, when you're looking at these tight ends that need to score points, that need to be touchdown dependent. But I feel as though, you know, he's averaging at least 5 targets, you know, a game this year. So hopefully this the Pats offense needs to take a step forward so Mac Jones can ascend and actually be the top 10, top 5 quarterback everybody keeps putting him up there as.
If you are still playing fantasy football on the same platform you've been for years, raise your hand. Yeah, I know there's a ton of you out there that are so tired of the same old boring settings year in and year out. This is why you need to be moving your league over to Fantrax. Fantrax has insane customization opportunities for your league, so you can actually play fantasy football the way that you want. Do you want to add bonus points for big plays? Do you want to add the ability to trade fab? Or what about even something as awesome as doubleheader matchups? All of this can be done easily at Fantrax. Move your league over or set up a new one today at Fantrax.com/playbook and have your whole league be entered to win their incredible giveaway for August. Fantrax will be sending one lucky fantasy football league to any regular season NFL game of their choice, along with $6,000 towards travel and accommodations. It's super easy to enter, and you can go to the FFPlaybook.com/Fantrax giveaway for all the details. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. So I'm going to disagree with you here, and I've got two words for it. We back. Jonnu Smith is my second late round steal. Let's run it back for 2022, because as we look at all of the beat reports coming out of camp here, we are hearing a ton about, I think Hunter Henry is a fine target at his current ADP. Don't get me wrong, but we are hearing a ton of buzz about Jonnu Smith finally being involved as a receiver in that short area of the field, right? We're hearing a ton about him being that target, potentially replacing James White. Like there were some beat reports saying like he could be that third down receiving option out of the backfield. And a key part of this is that they moved on from their fullback that they had last year. So they are looking now at, rather than the two running back classification of a running back in the backfield and that fullback, they're moving towards two tight end sets, right? Where you have Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith on the field at the same time. And it makes sense. You paid $50 million to Jonnu Smith. Get him on the field. He's incredibly talented. Last season, Jonnu Smith was 7th out of all tight ends in yards per route run with 1.86 for players with over 30 targets. Smith led all tight ends last season in yards after the catch per reception with 8.5 yards after the catch per reception for players with over 15 targets. It all comes down to opportunity. Jonnu Smith is not washed. He is a fantastic receiving option. It's just a matter of the Patriots couldn't get out of their own way last year and get the ball in his hands. If we finally have that changing, if we finally have indications, which I think that we do this year, that they are wanting to utilize him, get the ball in his hands, and take advantage of that playmaking ability, make life easy on Mac Jones. Now, I do not want to buy into this Patriots offense in really any way, shape, or form with Matt Patricia being the one to call offensive plays, okay? Yeah, like you do have to at least take that into account, that it's not exactly probably going to be pretty here. But when you do have the opportunity for targets, at a 269 overall ADP consensus and tight end 29 off the board, people were burned by Jonnu Smith last year. Sorry about that. People were burned by Jonnu Smith last year, and that has led to his ADP coming down here in a drastic, drastic way this year. But tight end 29 off the board, take the shot. When you are in this range, when you can go with a Irv Smith at tight end 15 off the board, which I think is fine, but we don't know if he's there for week one, just wait until the final round of your draft, or at least keep an eye on Jonnu Smith in week one here. Or if we get any playing time with the starters this year, I think Jonnu Smith is a guy that we do need to keep an eye on here this year. And potentially even there could be a world in which Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are both relevant options here for this Patriots offense if they really do stick as much in 12 personnel as we think that they could this year.
That'd be awesome.
All right, end of my rant there. All right, Jonnu Smith, I finally got him back on the podcast here. It feels good. All right, let's go here to your third late round steal.
So this guy right here, man, I'm so happy of like seeing the community like root for this guy to score touchdowns. And we're going to stay in New England, and it's Jakobi Meyers, man. I definitely feel as though the volume was there. And listen, he can't score touchdowns. It's just what it is. But he led the wide receivers in targets in the red zone. So Here's the thing. I think, you know, him and Mac Jones are getting something good going. The chemistry is building. I'm glad they're bringing him back. So, therefore, you have to move forward with John. Jacoby Myers got me thinking John Smith now. But Jacoby Myers is one of those guys that he can take the volume and he can make the plays. And I really feel as though right now we're just looking at the volume, what he had last year. And then people are throwing in Parker. But to be honest, I'm not predicting or praising injury on guys, but he just hasn't been available. And that's what matters, you know, going into Jacoby Myers and me grabbing him as my wide receiver 3 and wide receiver 4, because the dude is just a target junkie. He's going to get those targets, and I think targets are earned, and he definitely earns those targets.
I feel you have to look at this Patriots offense, and you have to say, who do you feel the most confident in getting the looks here in this offense, right? Because there are a ton of mouths to feed. When you look at Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, Tyquan Thornton, who they drafted in the second round, Kendrick Bourne still on that roster, Nelson Aguilar is still there as well, and then you've got the tight ends, right? So who do you feel the most confident in? And I think that Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, they belong in the conversation, but Jacoby Myers could realistically lead this team in targets. Now, is that going to lead to, you know, top-tier production? No, you mentioned it. He doesn't score touchdowns. It's just not in his range of outcomes here, but at least to provide a safe floor for you week in and week out, that is absolutely in the range of outcomes there for Jacoby Myers. So your third late round steal there. We went Patriot heavy here, and like I said, I did not think that was going to happen, and something that I really do not want to bank on this year, buying into that offense, but I think it can pay off given their current ADPs. For me, I'll go back to the wide receiver position here. Let's go Rondale Moore, wide receiver 62 off the board. You have to acknowledge the talent level of Rondale Moore. We saw in spurts last year when he was given the opportunity, 8.1 yards after the catch per reception last season per PFF. Rondale Moore, when you get the ball in his hands and let him create in space, give him the ball on screens, let him pick up yards after the catch. It's what he is so good at. But last year you had Christian Kirk in this offense that was limiting his opportunity to get onto the field regularly. Rondale Moore this year does not have Christian Kirk in front of him in this offense. We could see him as the full-time starting slot receiver. You have DeAndre Hopkins back in week 6. You have Marquise Brown on the opposite side, on the outside of DeAndre Hopkins. Then you got Rondale Moore right there in the slot. And I think that's the formation, the trio that we're going to see here in Arizona. So it's interesting for me to see that a starting slot receiver for one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL that is going to be given the ball regularly is still here at wide receiver 62 overall in ADP. He's got to be able to create after the catch. He's still got to be incredibly consistent and efficient with that opportunity that he gets, because he's not going to be a target hog. But at the same time, at wide receiver 62 overall in ADP, you're going to get some big performances from him, right? And especially in the first 6 weeks of the season when we don't have DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore is going to have some boom weeks. If you don't feel confident in that long-term outlook for Rondale Moore this season, trade him away. Trade him away after one of those big performances here and get something back. Whereas in wide receiver 62 overall in ADP, your last round of your draft, second to last round of your draft, you're able to get Rondale Moore here. And I think that is an absolute steal given what he could be this year for the Arizona Cardinals. All right, let's go to you here. Your final late round steal. Where are we going?
We're going to go to the running back position in Cardinals. Darrell Williams, man. I definitely feel as though this is a sneaky sleeper pick right here, because he put a lot on tape last year. I mean, he led the Chiefs running backs with 1,010 scrimmage yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, people are sleeping on this. The dude's talented, and I really think stashing him will be your best play in those later rounds when we're looking for running backs. Like, we remember the year we had CMC, you know, Derrick Henry, all these running back injuries, and we needed guys to step up and show up and show out. And a lot of people were going out there starting to Alex Collins, a Kenneth Gainwell, you know. It got messy for a lot of people, and I'm speaking for myself, obviously. But, man, you know, I really want to have guys that are going to be involved in offense, have potential to have some solid weeks, you know, flex play. Week 6 through 10, he averaged 5 targets per game while averaging 15 rushing attempts. And obviously, that's when CEH was out of the way. He was injured or whatever the case may be. And again, I hate predicting or even putting energy out there for injury, but James Conner doesn't have the best injury history. So I think that, you know, Benjamin's getting a little hype right now, but I think Darrell Williams put enough on tape to get his opportunities on the field. And look, he has a great catch percentage as well, Kyle. I mean, he's second among running backs, you know, with 50 targets, 82.5% of the catch percentage. And that is a reliable receiver for, you know, for a guy like Kyler Murray. Jeez, got me stumbling, man. But I believe, you know, Williams and Connor, they can coexist. And I think, you know, Cliff will have some things and creative things to get him involved.
So you sent over your list of players beforehand and I skimmed through it. So I didn't see the Hunter Henry and knew that we and didn't realize that we were going to disagree on that one. I did see Darrell Williams and I knew that we were going to disagree because the fourth late round steal for me is Eno Benjamin. And so for me, I'm going to go the opposite direction here. And this is really the difference between monitoring beat reports versus looking back at historical stat data, right? Because the stat data is there to indicate Darrell Williams, when he gets an opportunity, is actually pretty damn good, right? He has the opportunity to be a key contributor here for this Arizona Cardinals offense. And for fantasy purposes, if he could step right into that vacated Chase Edmonds role, I get the argument. And I think that there is, that's why when Darrell Williams signed, I went, okay, he's the RB2 and Eno Benjamin, this potential hype. You know, I was talking about Benjamin early on in the offseason. I cooled on that. I backed off of it. But the more that we have heard coming out of Cardinals camp here is signaling that Benjamin is working really hard to secure this RB2 role, and he is currently the favorite for it. So this is really dependent upon which way you want to lean right now when we don't have all the pieces to the puzzle. And I say that pretty much every podcast because this is what we're doing as fantasy analysts. We are trying to put together the pieces to the puzzle to get the big picture here, to find out what we really need to be investing in. So this is going to be one of the ones where we're going to find out pretty quickly which one of us was right. And I could see it going absolutely either way. But when you have Eno Benjamin there at RB72 overall in ADP, that's worth the shot for me. Potentially even both of them, man. Like in the 15th, 16th round of your drafts, if you run 16 rounds, like take both of them because they're both going to be there for you. They're both going to be there for you. And you're going to have one of them emerge as the RB2. And that RB2 role for Arizona is 100% going to be a very valuable piece to roster in fantasy football drafts this year, right? In on your fantasy lineup. So I think that's going to be the argument here is looking at Eno Benjamin versus Darrell Williams. Keep your ear to the ground. Keep monitoring those beat reports coming out of Arizona to signal which one of these guys is going to be that backup, that clear RB2 role, the guy who could be that Chase Edmonds this year, because that could be a top 30 running back week in and week out with top 10 upside if James Conner does miss time with an injury. So I don't have a ton of data to go back on Eno Benjamin. We haven't really seen him on the field, right? And that's what you have in your favor, but this is monitoring the beat reports here. Any thoughts there on Eno Benjamin, Darrell Williams before we close out?
I mean, you know, he had that one big play last season and he has a lot of burst. And like I said, he can earn those opportunities as well. And I think he has the leg up in the playbook. I think that's what's probably happening right now. So we'll just have to wait into these preseason games and then we'll know very quickly, like you said, what's going on and who's the RB2.
Absolutely. That would be a fun one to monitor. I will definitely keep track of that one on Twitter. The DMs. All right, man. Hey, thank you so much for carving some time out, jumping onto the podcast, man. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on and where they can find and follow more of your work?
Hey, you guys can follow me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Deal Fantasy. I got a couple things in the works, you know, right now that I'm trying to get out and get settled, you know, moving to Cali and stuff like that. It's a little crazy going from Jersey to Cali. I mean,
a little bit of a different lifestyle.
Yeah, completely. But, you know, a lot of things are coming out. Just, you know, just monitor the YouTube and Twitter at Real Deal Fantasy.
Absolutely. All right. Remember, if you want to take your entire fantasy football league to any NFL regular season game of your choice, head over to the ffplaybook.com/fantrax giveaway for all the details on how you can get entered into that awesome giveaway courtesy of Fantrax. All right. That'll do it for LQ. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.